All right, welcome to what month is it? May already. The May Spending Planners Monthly webinar. Got some really interesting and exciting stuff for today. And I hope people who aren't on the call watch the recording because there's lots of things happening. We'll start with something perhaps a little mundane, but I think it will be of interest to everybody. I'm just going to share my screen. If I just click on the right button. So, all right, so hopefully you recognize this web page. If I go right back to the top, you should. It's the Business Center. So you log into the resources and then you go through to the Business Center. I have just added a new resource at the end of phase two, step 10. Step 10 has always been about the monthly checkup. There's an email there that you could use as a template to send to your clients to say, hey, it's time for a monthly checkup. And it goes on to describe a little bit about what that monthly checkup is for. And obviously, as your clients have progressed past the initial stage of getting themselves up off the floor and recovering from, you know, the shortfall that they didn't realize they had, but now they've overcome. And there's always been an explanation in here on how to describe the need for adding type 3 to 6 expenses. And there's a big long blurb there about long-term savings and a refrigerator and a replacement cost of a refrigerator. If you start saving 10 years out, 5 years out and 1 year out, and the benefit of putting washing machines and refrigerators and all of those long-term things in together because they help each other out. But just recently, I've had two spending planners ask me if there was a client video that explained that. And I realized that there wasn't one. So I have just added in on step 10, you'll see it says supporting resources and it's got the email and a description and what you do on your monthly checkups. And then making changes, adding type 3 to 6 expenses, click here, video, long-term expenses, and the actual link to the video. So that would take us through to a Vimeo video, which I've just produced. It goes for almost 13 minutes, but when you're watching it, it just seems to go so quickly. And it sort of sets out the whole how to set up a long-term savings strategy. And first of all, with a dedicated account. And then in the last couple of minutes, if you wanted to include that with your bills account, how you would do that and how it'll work. So that's a new resource. And I've got two people in the waiting room, so I better let them in. How do I do that? Participants. Admit. And admit. All right, we've got Tricia and we've got Sherry.
Hello.
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 Hello, hello. All right, do I have to go through all that again?
No. I'm doing something else.
Okay, Tricia doesn't look like she's got a microphone, so hopefully she is there. Yes, she is. Okay, so I was just showing everybody that was on the call that I've added to step 10 in the Business Center. I have to keep that available. There's now a new video on long-term savings, Sherry, which I think is there because you were one of the people that was requesting that.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
So under step 10, which is the monthly checkup, you'll see there's a bit about the monthly checkup and then adding type 3 to 6 expenses, and there's a new link there for the video and a bit of a blurb about it. All right, so everybody that watches the video will get that. I'll also announce that over the through the forum anyway. All right, now I'll stop the share there for a moment. And I just have a Carolyn's got a dubious award to receive in that. I think she's going to take out the prize for the client with the most afterpays. So I'm not sure if, well, I, yeah, she'd probably happily accept that award if there was one. Hi, Tricia, I can see you now. That's good. So, Carolyn, how many afterpays?
New client, second meeting last night. 17 afterpays.
17
afterpays.
Holy guacamole. But the good thing about it was that she's actually got them all under control.
Oh, well, she does. Yeah, she's good, but her spending's not under control.
No.
Spending's out of control.
So,
and the problem is, and I was just saying, you know, we have to be psychologists, like seriously, when we're working with these people, because this woman has depression and she says that quite, you know, openly. And she's just starting working with a psychologist because she knows that her spending is out of control, right? As is her smoking habit. I mean, between her and her partner, they spend $400 a week on cigarettes and alcohol.
Well, there's a new car there.
There's a house deposit there, David, and yep. That's what they want. Their goal is a new house. So, you know, we're wasting $400 a week on cigarettes and alcohol, and we have 17 afterpays. And they're all at Bunnings, funnily enough. But she spends her money at Bunnings.
Yep.
So last night we talked about their goals and rah, 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 goals and dreams, and got them all excited again. And they know they've got to make changes. So, I mean, it's all there. The basis of it is all there. But as I said to David, how far do you go as a spending planner? Like, she's also got some debt that from the past that's now with a debt collection agency, right? And get this, one of them is with Wallet Wizard, right? You know, the old Wallet Wizard. Do you know what the interest rate is on Wallet Wizard?
That'd be ridiculous.
36%.
Wow, that ridiculous.
That ridiculous.
I thought it would be at least 30, so yes.
35.95. I looked up, she sent me her contract earlier to have a look at. And so 12 months ago she owed $500 on Wallet Wizard and now she owes $1,100. Right? In 12 months, it's more than doubled.
Yep.
So I was going to call my mortgage broker today because of her depression as well, she struggles with dealing with all of this stuff and dealing with those people, right? So I said to her that I would make a couple of phone calls today and see how I could help her. But I said to David, how far do we go as spending planners in helping people like this, like rather than just doing a spending plan? Because I do. I feel like a family counsellor, psychologist, I don't know. So
how far do you other guys go? I mean, do you draw a line and say, well, this is what you need to do. You need to make these calls, or do you make calls on their behalf, or what do you do?
I haven't got that many clients yet, and I haven't had any that bad that I've had to actually look at it. But I would think, I don't know, they probably need some help. Like, it is pretty daunting if you've never done it. But at the same time, they've got to learn too. Like, rather than, like, until they fully break that cycle, like, yeah, they might clear it. What if they get back into it? They're going to have to learn at the same time. So I don't know, meet up with them and sit with them while they make a phone call, to coach them along while they're on the phone or something. I don't know, but can't always do it for them though too. So I don't know. That's a bit tough though too, because you want to help.
Understanding that when they get in that position where it's all too scary, it's kind of hard for them to actually get started. Sometimes a little bit of momentum gets them excited and to the point where, oh, I can do this myself. But I think Carolyn was just wondering if she was the only one going to these links or whether some of the others were doing that as well. Sherry, you're shaking your head.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that always comes back to me when I get those really hard ones is
why I started to do it, what I want, why I started to become a spending planner in the first place. Mm. And it wasn't to make money. Mm. Okay. It was so I can help other people. Now, of course, I do make money, but I think about those clients and I think if I can't help them, no one will help them.
Yeah.
They don't have anyone else that they can go to unless they go to, you know, these big, you know, kind of sharks who will make them worse off. And so I take it as a challenge, but I also set my boundaries. I am very, you know, set my boundaries. They know they need to tell me the truth. And it's quite good because as I go through it, you know, next session in, okay, I need to tell you something else. And so they come out just because I tell them from the first, you have to be so truthful. If I'm going to invest in you, we can have no lies between us. And I need it all out on the table and I need your full commitment. Those sessions are hard, especially when it's a husband and wife and you can tell that they're not in harmony at the moment and you feel like a counselor because they're so depressed because their finances.
I know. And the thing is, Sherry, like last night, and this is what I don't like about Zoom, because last night I could tell that she was almost in tears because she kept going off screen. And then she would come back and you could tell her eyes were teary. And I'm like, and I just said to her at one stage, you know what, sweetheart, if I was there right now, I would give you a big hug and tell you that this is going to be okay.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And you just can't do that on Zoom. And that's what I hate. But, yeah, I think it's going to be okay.
Yuck!
Yeah. And I mean, I had one in the States that had so much debt and she was depressed. She was in the 2 months I worked with her, she found out she had congestive heart failure, diabetes and multiple sclerosis. And I'm thinking, well, no wonder with the amount of debt you've been carrying. And so I basically said, I can't help anymore. You need to do something. You need to go see your daddy or whatever.
Yeah.
And 2 months later, I got a call and she sorted things out. Okay. And so it's just that, you know, I could only go so far. Yeah. And then yet she knew I had taken her and got her to the ability to do something about it, where she would go to Alcoholics Anonymous. And she said, they just yell at me because I spent some money. And I'm thinking, I won't yell at you. I'm just going to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
It's like I expect you. I'm just going to say, this is what you need, and until you can change things, I can't move forward. And then you're in your mind, and you know they will come back, hopefully.
For the benefit of those who've just come in, Trisha's back, Kim's back, Amira's been in and out a couple of times. Hi, Amira. We just all you've missed so far is if you go into the business center in step 10, I've added a link to a new video which explains long-term savings. Trisha. Oh, no, it wasn't you. It was Gabby that was asking for that. So in the Business Center, step 10, you'll find there's a new video there. And then we've just been talking about Carolyn with a client with 17 afterpays and sort of asking the question, how far do you go at helping a client? Do you start ringing up people on their behalf or do you give them those jobs and make them do them yourself? So anyway, I do need to move on. I did mention step opinion. So next Tuesday evening, there is going to be, this is like the first time this will be announced. Nick and I will be doing a software presentation demonstrating virtual accounts. So that's a new software feature. I still haven't seen it. Have been some setbacks along the way. Nick's mum died earlier in the year, which kind of sidetracked him for a bit. And then his best mate's mum's just died, which sort of sidetracked him for a bit. But he has made the commitment that it will be ready next week, and Tuesday night, 7 p.m, we'll be having a session on that. So that will also be obviously put up on the Facebook forum. Amira, I know I've heard you complain bitterly at times at how hard it is to get people across the line. And we all know as spending planners that we can help people big time. But getting them to actually cross the line and let you in and do something for them can be quite difficult and very frustrating, and you sort of think, just let me help you. I remember when I started, if I was a school teacher, if I met a new person at a barbecue or something and they asked me what I did, I'd say, well, I'm a school teacher, but I started my own business helping people doing their budgets. And they'd always say, oh, I should get you to help me with that. But the moment I said, well, when would be a good time, they would duck for cover. Yeah. There would be after Christmas or after this or after that kind of response would come back to me. But really strangely, on Thursday night next week, I'm actually doing my first house call in probably over 20 years. And it all happened because I'm getting a new house built and I was talking to the builder's assistant, an office lady, and got talking about what I do. And she did the, oh, I should get you to help me with that. And I thought, oh, here we go. So I said, well, you know, usually when people say that to me, if I say, well, when would you like me to come around? They turn and run for cover. She said, oh, I wouldn't. I went, oh, okay. Well, I'd be happy to come. Yeah, oh, and could my 19-year-old son sit in on it too? I said, absolutely. So I'm doing a house call, first time in a long time. So that will be fun. But anyhow, we all know the difficulties. Everybody wants what we can give them, but getting them to cross the line. And I know the frustration of trying different marketing messages and different advertising and different, you know, you go and meet all of the local mortgage brokers and financial planners and accountants, Jody, and they all say, that's great what you're doing. I'll send anybody to you that I think needs your help, but nothing happens. And we've talked in the past about how you have to foster that relationship and work with these professionals, scratch their back before they'll scratch yours. But recently, after we parted company with Derek because I ran out of money and I started doing some advertising myself, I thought, yeah, this has changed a lot since I was at the coalface. And I used to find pretty easy, but it's not the same now as it was back then. So what can we do differently? And a conversation that I had with Nick led me down this path that I'm really excited about. And I want to get your ideas, your opinion, because I've put a lot of thought into it and I've started creating resources. And then while I'm full steam ahead with that, late last week, I had a call from my business friend in America who I met in 2005, and he has a publicly listed company in the States, and it's a financial services company, and he's had a lot of difficulty over the years, but he's finally sort of getting the rubber on the road. And he came to me and said, the only part that I've ever had trouble with getting this whole thing to work is the marketing, and I've now found a foolproof marketing system that I know it's going to work, so we're ready to go. And so I've got two things to tell you about, but I'm going to tell you about the first one first. And to do that, I'm going to do a screen share. The conversation that I had with Nick, sorry, wrong button. Wait till I find the right button. Here we go. This one. So that's where that link is on step 10, just for those guys that came in late in the business center. Step 10 monthly checkup, you'll see there's a video and a link. So this is the conversation that I had with Nick. How many times have you found that people just will not let you into their world because even though you know they need help with their money and they know they need help with their money, there are too many fears holding them back. And yet you know that they spend money on their kids, like at the drop of a hat if they think that something's going to be good for their kids. And so the conversation basically was along the lines of, why don't we create a kids program? And I said, look, I tried to get into schools 100 years ago, came up against closed doors. But at the end of that conversation, I went away and I thought a lot. And I thought, you know what? If we advertised for mum and dad, hey, you know, you've got money problems, you need to let me sort it out, 99% of the time we're knocking on a closed door. But if our message changed and said, you know, you want your kids to have a great financial future and you don't want them to be a burden on you for the rest of your life and to keep coming back asking for money, do you think they would be interested in finding out how to teach their kids about money? Now, I think this would be so much easier. I created this web page, it's one of my grandchildren there, and I've basically set up a template that a spending planner could use as a web page or on a social media page. And you can see here it says, I'll go back to the top. Do you wonder how your kids are ever going to manage financially, buy their own home, avoid debt, blah, blah, blah? It's not easy to control finances. You already know that. And I sort of go into all of the issues that people have with money. But the idea is that what we want to sell, we want to give away a free information session, because just before that part of my webpage there, it says, the Spending Planners Institute has developed free resources to assist parents in teaching children of all ages how to become successful with money. And as part of my work as a certified spending planner, I make these resources available to parents and grandparents. So what I'm doing here is I'm trying to create a set of resources that any one of you guys could take, personalize, put them on your online presence, promote an event that you're going to run where you're going to give people these free resources that have been developed by the Spending Planners Institute. So it's kind of like, oh, wow, there's an institute out there that creates resources. They care about people and their children and teaching them about money. It's part of their social responsibility thing or what they do. That's why it's free. It's not because there's any trap or any trick. So then there's a patch here where you can introduce yourself. You put your name in there and whatever you want to say about yourself. I'm hosting this information session, time and date. I'll be giving attendees access to the resources and describing how they can best be implemented. Click here to sign up. So it's a sales letter based around getting people to sign up for something to teach their kids about how to never be a burden on you and to get their finances in order. Okay, so I'll stop there for a moment. How am I going so far? Does anybody think, oh, stupid idea, or has this kind of got potential, do you think?
Anyone?
Yeah, come on.
Looks like it's got some potential.
Right. Is that because you know it's so hard to get parents themselves to admit to needing help and you think, well, because I think they'll spend money on their kids and here it's a freebie. Because clearly what we want to do is just engage with people. And if it's like, if I give you the fries, will you buy the hamburger? Total opposite to what McDonald's do. Oh, you've bought a hamburger. Would you like fries with that? Okay, let's start a relationship. I want to give you something. And look, everybody online does this. Here's a free gift. Give me your email address and I'll send it to you. So this is kind of the same principle, but there's quite an emotive hook, if you like, that people, I believe, will want their kids to be successful with money. And here's some way that they can teach their kids about money. And one of the things that I say in this sales letter is, one of the biggest benefits you will get from teaching your kids about money, once you have the resources and understanding of how to deliver that to your kids, is you are just as likely to find your own finances will improve as a result. You always learn when you teach. So I'm creating resources. This web page template is the start of that. And I'm going to do a different screen share and show you what I'm working on. Okay. So the strategy is that Spending Planners offer a free parent's guide titled How to Teach Your Kids to Be Great with Money to all parents and grandparents who attend a free webinar of the same name as a freebie. This will give you the opportunity to build a relationship and the opportunity to offer a low cost, how to implement the free guide in your home kind of service, product, whatever you want to call it. And then once you get the toe in the door and you start building a relationship with people, my belief is that once they see that they've got to teach their kids how to be good with money, they'll realize that they themselves need to set an example and learn how to be good with money themselves, which then gives you the opportunity to sell them a bigger family package, whatever, however you want to put that together. So the resources, I've just showed you my webpage template. Sales copy, so that you can actually get people to that webpage. A PowerPoint presentation that you can use your information session.
David, are you thinking you're sharing your screen because you're not?
Oh, thank you for that. I
was just going to say that.
Didn't get that right. Let me try again. Are you, okay, so.
So we saw the web page.
Yes. So we saw the web page. So here's the list of resources that I'm working on. The web page was the first one, the sales copy, so that you've actually got something that you can use as a basis for social media advertising, whatever you want to do. A PowerPoint presentation, which will be an outline on what that information session might run like. A guide to go with that. And then this parent's guide, whatever it might end up looking like, this product that we're going to give away for free, which is how to teach your kids about money. And I believe that that starting a Facebook group will be an instrumental part of this, because I'll give you, I used to know a woman, actually I still do know her, but I haven't spoken to her probably for 10 or 15 years. But she had a website called Simple Savings, and she had a monthly newsletter. And in that newsletter, she would give away free membership to her savings vault for a year to the person that sent in the best savings tip. And so people would be sending in, this is how I save money on whatever, whatever, whatever. And all of those tips would go into her vault of savings tips that people would pay an annual subscription to get access to. So where were her tips coming from? Initially, she started it, but eventually it became something that just was self-perpetuating, because people would send in their ideas. She would catalog them. And the incentive would be that they would get free access for a year if they got chosen as the best tip for the month. And so that's how she got the content for her product. And I'm thinking, if we have a Facebook group, which is all about kids and money and how to teach your kids about money and share your ideas on what you're doing and ask questions about what you could be doing, we'll get the same sort of thing happening, where people give us the bones of our product, our freebie. That's interesting. Trisha, you're now on your side. Don't go to sleep on us. So that will help us to actually generate the product that we're going to give away, and it will be an ongoing, ever improving product. So how to teach your kids about money, a webinar guide. So I'm basically started to write sort of the notes for what your webinar is going to present and how you'll present it. And then I've got the how to teach your kids about money, the parent's guide, and I've got sort of age brackets and ideas that I started putting down. 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds, 14-year-olds, 15, 16, 17. So I've already started work on this. I'm hoping you guys want it, because if you don't, well, I've just wasted a whole lot of time. And then keep going. Oh, that's the end of it. And then I started work on a PowerPoint presentation with my same famous granddaughter. How to teach your kids about money, with put your name in there. About the presenter, all information about you and why you do what you do. I've got a page about the Institute.
Are you showing the PowerPoint presentation, Dave?
Yeah, I am, but I'm not. Yeah, don't worry about me. I'm a bit slow today. that would be this one. All right, can you see my granddaughter now?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is kind of like a title page. About the Institute, obviously we'll have some blurb about what the Institute does and how we like to help people with their money. And then about you, the presenter, and why you do what you do. And then start on this, you know, why is learning about money so important? Why is it so important for your kids? And bullet points on what you'd talk about. All right. So, so did you, could you see that or not? Am I sharing my screen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So feedback, sounds ideas, good, thoughts. What do you think?
Oh, it sounds good.
I like that. That's one positive.
love it. In fact, David, I bought all those pocket pals off you.
Yep.
Which have been coming in good as, you know, kind of a freebie if I a host or something, and but I've actually kind of digitized it and changed it a bit because it's, of course, using checkbooks, and plus I had done it, edited it before when I used my kids, 18 years ago. And yeah, so this will just enhance that. It will be excellent.
I don't intend developing all of these resources on my own, A, because then you'll get a 64-year-old view on it, and B, it'll take way too long and it won't be as good as it could be if we all collaborated on it together. So I'm basically going to be putting it out there for interested parties to work with me so that we can generate it better and faster and all share it as a way of getting ourselves out there in front of people. Carolyn and I, when we were doing our podcast last year, I don't know how many of you ever listened or took much notice, but for quite a while we didn't have any problems coming up with material to talk about. But as the year progressed, we got a little bit thin on the ground with what will we talk about this week. And the idea of talking about kids and money came up. And we found that all of a sudden we had people engaging with us where previously there was silence. And we had people who would be happy to come on and talk about what they were doing to teach their kids about money and share their ideas. And we could have kept going. We could have just kept going. But Christmas came, and then I sort of said to Carolyn, you know, people that don't have kids would be thinking, well, these guys have lost the plot. They've lost me or whatever. So we sort of went back to more adult topics. But I recognized that we could claim this space and use it as our would you like a burger with the fries? Because we'll give you the fries. Would you like to buy a burger with that? So, sorry, I kind of cut off. Some of you were just starting to make comments, and I'll shut up and let you talk. What are your thoughts?
I'm happy to collaborate.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll hold you to that.
I have 2 17-year-old clients at the moment. And they're really, it's humorous, but it's really fun because, I mean, how smart are their parents to get their 17-year-olds who are in year 12 getting ready to go out on their own to have a spending plan? I have to tell you, one of them, she makes 130 in one job, 80 in the other, and 80 is her spending money because it's her petrol and her spending money. And she texted me and she goes, Sherry, I didn't get paid the $80 this week. Do I still get to spend $80? And her mother just says, go and ask Aunt Sherry, you know, because they just listen to every word I say.
Yep.
And they're eager, they're excited. And in fact, I did a meetup last night, online meetup, and I'm finding I'm getting a lot of those kind of the younger ones that are really interested. They're interested in doing better than their parents and to know what to do with their money.
Well, let's face it, their parents have become jaded and they're at the point where they don't think there is a magic pill. There's nothing can, like, I don't think anybody can fix me. Whereas when they're in a teenager or early 20s, they haven't gotten so, life's just too tough. Their attitude hasn't hardened to the point where they're just not listening.
Yeah.
So, in fact, you know, those workshops that I used to run, occasionally people would say, oh, look, I can only come if I can bring my kids with me. I go, okay. And I'd have 16-year-olds come up to me at the end of the day and say, oh, that I didn't think this was about me, but I've just learnt so much today. So, yeah, it's quite amazing how twitched on they are.
Yeah.
So
maybe the key is to get in before they get too jaded.
Yeah. Yeah, and too deep in debt.
Yeah. Or like I had to tell one of the 17-year-olds, she spent $90 on a gift for her friend. Well, she only brings in $90 a week and she has other expenses. She goes, oh, but my friend bought me a gift and it was over $100. So I need, and I just said, hey, stop keeping up with the Joneses. And I just told her straight, you keep that attitude, you'll never have money if you're trying to impress other people with gifts. You know,
and don't let emotions drive your finances because there was an emotional pressure there.
Yeah. So they're fun to work with.
I think I'd start off with everybody in the world wants your money, and if they want it more than you, they will get it. You have to want your money more than everybody else.
So true.
It's that simple. All right. So I've got a couple of offers to work on that with me. for those of you who, and I know we've all sort of felt at times we're bashing our head against the brick wall and nobody's listening. Do you think my thought process may be correct in that parents will spend money or go, let's get our kids taught about money before they'll jump off the diving board themselves?
I think that whenever you take the focus away from the person themselves.
Correct. That's exactly, I think, the best part about it, because it's like, yeah, I need that, but I can't admit to it, but I'd like my kids to be better at me and maybe I'll learn something out of this too.
From osmosis.
Yeah, well, we'll turn osmosis into a fire hydrant. Yeah. All right, so that's, I appreciate your opinions and that. I was sort of kind of hoping for a little bit more engagement, but I'm quite happy with where we're at with that.
Well, can I suggest that, I mean, we all have clients, or most of us have past clients that we've worked with over the years, and their kids are, if they were little, whatever, they all have kids. I have a few parents who are wanting to pay for their kids, their adult kids' 6-month plan. They just can't convince them to do it, even though they're going to get it for free, which, you know, whether they pay for it or not, they still have to be committed. But we all have children of our clients. And so that might be a way to go back and contact our old clients, but not because they need it, but because maybe your children. And then they will probably say, oh, I actually need it too.
I learned from a marketing guy many years ago that he basically presented a concept, and I know a couple who ran with the concept and became multi millionaires, and they now live in Thailand on an island that they own simply using this one simple process. And what he showed us was, he said, a lot of people will spend a whole lot of time and energy building what they think is the perfect product, and then when they've got the product made, they then go to market and find that they can't sell it, or that people, you know, it's not as hot as they thought it was. So he showed us a website that he had created, and the website was cureatoothache.com. And he said, what you want to do is find people when they're in pain and then find out what they want. So this website didn't say, here's how you cure your toothache. It said, I'm creating a product on how to cure a toothache. Tell me what it is you're looking for, seeing as how you've landed on this website. And when I've created the product, I'll give you a free copy as a thank you for your input. And so people put in their comments about why they'd found it and what they were looking for and what they wanted. And then he actually used that, and he paid somebody on one of those, you know, Fivers or whatever, where you pay somebody from overseas a pittance to create a product. And all of the points that the people had put in that they were looking for, they were the headings for the chapters in this digital product. And then in the end, the website basically was selling a $4.99. You know, how to cure your toothache in the middle of the night when you can't ring your dentist. And then there were all of these sort of, just find a pain point and then create a website that says to people, what would you like this to be? And we'll create it and you can get a freebie. So I don't think it's beyond the realms of impossibility of saying to parents who've got kids, hey, if we're going to create something to teach your kids about money, what would you want it to be? What would you want it to look like? How would we be best to deliver it? And get them to tell us what they would think would be the best way to do it. Use the same principle.
So, David, why would you not then use that principle on the platforms that we already have? For, like, you've got your Simply Budgets Facebook platform where there's, I don't know, 400 or 500 people. You've got the Spending Planners Institute one with probably the same number, and then we've got the podcast one with the same number. So why would you not put it out to them first and see what sort of input you get back and create conversation that way?
As in, say, we're thinking of creating a how to teach your kids about money product.
Yep.
Yeah, well, why just go to the parents with kids? Why not go to everybody? Yeah, good.
Well, that's what I mean. You know, and we could all put it out on our Facebook pages, because we've all probably got hundreds of people on our Facebook pages, you know, and get some input back, and then combine that all together. You know, you're talking about everyone being included in this. So perhaps that's a way of getting some input from our, and also because I noticed, and I don't know if anybody else follows the Succeed with Money podcast page, but I've put up a few questions over the last couple of weeks about money. And one of them a while ago was, I think on the 7th of April, do you have any money advice that you wish you were given when you were younger? And there was a 93 post reach and three answers on it. But then I put up a what makes you feel rich other than money, 150 post reach. And I just thought on there, you know, we've got these people that engage with us in that. And Facebook's not a great place for engagement anyway, but if we give them something that they can, that as Amira said, it takes the focus off them but on their kids, they're more likely to engage,
mm-hmm.
right? They're more likely to give you answers for things that, yep. you know.
Yep. No, this is getting bigger than Ben-Hur. I like that. That's good. Yep. We've got people who are already paying attention or are slightly interested, at worst slightly interested in what we're doing.
Mm.
So let's ask them. That will engage them, make them feel like they're actually part of it and valued.
Yep.
And you
could even offer them, David, you know, would you be interested in a free product? There's a good question. Would you be interested in a free product to help your kids learn about money? Or yep. What do you think your 8-year-old needs to know about money or whatever? There's a whole range of questions that yep. we can put together.
Yeah.
For that engagement as well. And if we were all putting it out, then that could help all of us create engagement. And if they know then that there's something coming, then that could also create a bit of excitement as well, you know.
And it will also put pressure on us to actually get it done and deliver it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise we look like we don't do anything. Yeah. All right. So that sounds like I'm going to give it a thumbs up. I'm glad because I've already started working on it. So then last week I had this call from my mate in America and he's going, I've got this amazing marketing system. I'm ready to go. We're going to start putting people into spending plans here. No problem at all. So I'm going to share my screen again and hopefully I'll get the right one. It's this one. So he met this guy. His name is Pedro Adeo. And Pedro, according to Ray, my friend in America, accidentally stumbled onto this marketing idea that works so well. He's actually now put more of his focus of his business into actually teaching people how to do challenges. So the whole thing is doing a 5-day challenge. And getting people, the whole idea is you want to get to know people and get to interact, get them to know, like, and trust you. And, you know, if you've ever advertised a webinar or whatever, you probably haven't had a lot of engagement. But at the moment, apparently, these 5-day challenges are the flavor and everybody's doing them and they're working gangbusters. So I'm going to get firsthand experience with him because I'm going to be part of his 5-day challenges because I'll be one of the speakers and I'll get some firsthand knowledge on how well they work and how to do them and how we can implement them here in Australia. So do any of you guys have any information, any knowledge of these challenges, 5-day challenges, I think are the most popular ones. I know Marlene, you had a play with one?
Yeah, I did one when COVID or a few months after COVID hit about how to manage your money in a financial crisis.
Can I ask you where you got the idea from?
Facebook. A lot of businesses on Facebook run free challenges as a way of building their email list, obviously, and then there's always an upsell at the end into one of your programs.
Yeah.
And I had about 30 people register. I had 8 people who participated over the 5 days. And essentially it was just, I set up a dedicated Facebook group for the people in the challenge, and I went live in that group every day for about half an hour, just to sort of take them through the day's lesson, and they had a little bit of homework every day.
Yep.
Yeah, it was good. I think I only had, I only had one sale as a result, but I grew my email list, you know, by 30-odd people as well.
So if you got one sale, I mean, I've got no idea what you'd charge, but would that have been worth the time you put into it?
Oh, yes. And the thing is, once you see, there's a fair bit of work in setting it up for the first time.
First time, yeah.
Because, you know, you have to create the lessons and, you know, they all got a little workbook to follow through with. So, but once you've got all those resources, it's really easy just to repeat, to run that again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a bit but you didn't do that?
No.
What was the reason?
I felt like it was away from my niche, I guess, at the time, because I specifically target women in business. Mm-hmm. And this was more generally for anyone who was, you know, struggling financially. I didn't run it again. There's no reason why I couldn't, but I didn't.
So you got 30 people and said they were interested, but only 8 attended and 1 signed up. So 1 signing up out of 8 is better than 10%, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's pretty good. And 1 out of 30, that's 0.3% isn't it?
Mm.
What's 3 divided by 10, whatever that turns out to be, which still isn't too bad.
Yeah, interestingly though, almost 12 months later, one of the people that got on my email list through that challenge has since signed up to work with me. So, you know, obviously the benefits come through over time as well. Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, apparently these are, and I think Carolyn went looking on Facebook and said there's heaps and heaps of people running 5-day challenges.
Yeah, I stopped counting at 50.
Right.
Everyone's doing a challenge. I'm actually doing a 5-day challenge at the moment, so there you go.
So you're a participant.
I am a participant because I wanted to see how they did it and what they did. So I thought, what better way than to just join up?
Sign up for one. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, watch this space, because that's another marketing initiative that looks like it's got potential legs. And we're all going to be busy, 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 but that's what we want. I think, you know, we know that we can help people, but we just haven't really had the formula perfected for how to get them to actually let us do that. So. And I'm looking forward to having my first client in 20 years. When Simply Budget software came on the market, I actually thought what I was going to do with it was, because I'd been going into people's homes and then they'd say yes, and I'd spend 3 hours doing it for them. And I just wanted to be able to go, you need this software, you can do it for yourself. Let me install it and show you what to do. And then I can go and you can get on with it. But everything went berserk when a current affair happened and I never did get to go back into people's homes. And then the whole everything just went in different directions. But I'm very happy to be actually going back and doing a house call. I'm really excited. So I'm looking forward to that. And she specifically said, no, come to my place rather than doing Zoom, which I'm really happy with. So, all right. Well, that's pretty close to an hour from when we started. So, and unusual that we would finish on time. So Tuesday night is going to be a software demo with Nick. I'm going to push forward with the kids and money and ask others, like everybody that wants to be involved. Other people obviously might be that weren't on the call today. And I don't have all the answers, but I think collaboratively we'll get pretty close to creating something that we can say, this is a valuable asset that's worth having. Come on our information session and find out all about it. We'll show you how to use it and how to teach your kids about money. Oh, and by the way, I'd love to help you in that process. Oh, and by the way, I can even go Rolls Royce with you if you like, and it'll only cost you a little bit of money, but it'll be so worth it. So that's the idea. Okie dokie. Thank you for your presence. Any comments, questions, suggestions before I cut you all off?
Can you confirm the time next Tuesday night?
7 p.m. Okay. Queensland time.
Okay. Which is easy. You'll send us the link for that, Dave.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Can you do that shortly? So we've got it in our calendars so we don't double book ourselves.
For those of us who rely on digital calendars, yes.
Yes.
Sorry, I was a bit in and out earlier. Obviously, I had some audio issues. What was the Tuesday night for?
So we've got a new feature coming in the software. A couple of new features, actually. Virtual accounts, which allows people to just put almost like splits in a savings account so they can save for multiple things. And so we're going to be showing how that works.
Awesome. Thank you.
Is that going to go live after that, or is that?
I'm not 100% sure, but clearly I won't be showing it unless it's there. I know Nick was going to set up so I would have access to one of my demo account so I could have a play with it first before prior. So I'm not sure how much the way that it will work is that when you go into settings, there will be a tick box that says I use virtual accounts. And until your client knows that it's there and goes and ticks it, there will be absolutely nothing that looks any different from what they've got right now. But once they've ticked that, when they create an account, it asks them whether they want to have virtual accounts with that, and they can go to accounts they've already got and add virtual accounts to it. And we actually, from what we did with the conference at the start of the year, we learned a lot and had to go right back to the drawing board. And I think it was Gabby one of the other bookkeeper spending planners who made us really aware if we're going to create transactions, those transactions have to appear on people's bank statements. And we were talking about having transfers between virtual accounts, which were transactions that never actually occurred. And we realized that would just be confusing if we've got things happening in spending planner that aren't happening in their bank account. So we had to go back and have a rethink about the whole thing. And I believe that we've done a pretty good job of taking on board everything that people said. So Tuesday night, we'll get your feedback, see how we went.
Can I just share a win that I had this week with a client?
Please do.
I started working with him last February, one month before COVID hit. Yeah. She had a job. Her husband had a job. They had three kids, three young kids. He just basically spent all their money. They had some good wages. She, for some reason, was just going to quit her job in between jobs, and then COVID hit. And so she went down to a one-income family. They had quite a few consumer debts that we smashed out. So within the 6 months, they paid those off. And then they've just been living their plan. And they contacted me 2 days ago and said, tomorrow we are going to be homeowners.
Wow.
So in 12 months, just over 12 months, when most of it was COVID, they paid off all their consumer debt. They paid cash, which I didn't know. They paid $10,000 cash for a car. Everything they had spent, they had money, cash for a bed, that broke, and now they're homeowners. And she goes, there is no way I could have done that without the spending plan and, of course, a spending planner. And so
that's the stuff that goosebumps are made of.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was a 2020 miracle. If you can do it in 2020 to do all that for a young couple, then you can easily do it in 2021.
Absolutely. So you're going to get that testimonial from them.
Oh, right? I will. She's excited. We just have to let her settle in.
Yep. Well, share it with us all and we'll all spread it around.
Yeah, I will.
So, David, before we go, I just wanted to show off our latest edition. But
Congratulations.
Camera this way.
Oh, he's camera shy.
So that's little Eli. He's 4 weeks old tomorrow.
Thank you for sharing that.
He's very cute.
I know that Omar is besotted, so yes.
Yes, Omar spends a lot of time with him at the moment. It's cool.
Jody, it's funny because as you get older, you think that those little babies are so much better than when you've got actually full responsibility all on your own.
At the moment, with having a fresh three-nager, I miss the newborn phase.
A three-nager.
They're just a blob. And they just eat, sleep, poop. That's great. That's great. I can deal with that. It's the three-nager and the upcoming two-year-old. It's just insanity.
I love it right now, Jody. That's gorgeous.
That's a new term that I haven't heard. So three-nager will become part three-nager.
Yeah.
I've heard of the terrible twos, but three-nagers, that's sort of the next level up the ladder.
Yeah.
Wait.
And then we're recycled teenagers. Us older ones, that's what I call myself. I'm just a recycled teenager.
Totally.
Love it. There's hope for me yet.
Yeah.
All righty.
All right.
Thanks, guys.